This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio, and we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Team Haven. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things. How are we today? No thumbs from Hayden because he is late. Brandon, sitting in his place, says he's doing
there
good.
There we go. We get a thumbs up finally.
It's nice to have good energy in the room at least.
Right.
Hayden's always two thumbs down, sulking, so it's nice. It's nice to see someone in here smiling. Cam, how are you?
I'm doing good. I've decided I'm just going to not focus on the Tennessee stuff too much and just choose joy and just live my life blissfully.
That's the way to do it, my friend.
Smart.
Draven, you good?
Yeah, doing good. I like that approach, Cam. I like that approach. Just completely forget
no,
it. Just
no
ignore
need
it.
To stress myself out
right.
over it. That's they're getting
2021
paid. People get
too.
Paid to stress over this.
Exactly.
I'm not going to do it for free.
Just wake up and choose joy.
It's that simple.
It's that simple.
That easy.
Some people believe that the AD search could be coming to a close fairly soon, which is nice, I guess. It's not going to stretch out too long. So that's good. I do wonder how much more of a priority doing this in a timely manner became yesterday when, you know, your entire roster hit the transfer portal.
It's like, okay.
It probably sped it up a little bit, hit a little bit of urgency.
Maybe a little bit of a panic, just a little bit. Yeah. Like, okay, maybe we need to speed this process up.
Yeah,
no more
taking our time here. We have to be a little bit more urgent.
Yeah, try and save face a little bit.
Now, you know, some people have easily connected the dots. A lot of the guys that left yesterday,
yeah,
or at least announced they were leaving yesterday, were Brian Niedermeyer recruits.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw some of those names start getting questioned when it comes to where you're receiving impermissible benefits, where you're getting bags of cash delivered to you in McDonald's bags, because we know that this coach was cheating to get other players, so how'd he get you?
Yep.
So, like, it's possible that was a connection there easily to, you know, to make. Or, you know, just, you know, some of those guys just want to go and win and some upperclassmen. There's probably a mix of both, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were connected. But at the same time, I mean, like, Eric Gray, if you're him, like, I'm not running behind this offensive line. Like,
no way.
I was supposed to have the TVA, which, by the way, things that age poorly. Woof.
Yeah. That was bad.
Things that age poorly, the TVA. Yeesh. But if I'm Eric Gray, like, my two left tackles are gone.
Mm-hmm.
My left guard's gone to the NFL. I'm good. I'm going to go somewhere where I can win and showcase myself and become an NFL running back.
Yep. Yeah. Like, I don't blame them for looking out for their futures.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't blame them for looking out for their futures. You can't blame them for that. This, you know, jumping off of a sinking ship.
Yeah.
No shame. I was a little surprised Jameer Johnson.
Yeah, I was there too.
Hit the portal. I was a little surprised he hit the portal. But either way,
See John Gilbert taking his name out of the AD hat?
That seems like a, hey, I'm not getting the job type of thing, which that's good. So. I mean, a lot of people were worried about that. Rick Barnes, we'll see if he's happy or unhappy. I mean, hell, Rick. Yeah. You know, what are you going to do about it? You going to leave? This might upset some people, but I would imagine we could find a coach that could win 3 tournament games in 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to cry about it, like, we can find a coach that can win us 3 tournament games in 5 years.
What was the connection there between them two? They just ties.
Gilbert worked here for a while and was here, and like he was just Barnes had a relationship with him, and his son plays on the basketball team
right, that's
as a walk-on.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So if Rick is that upset about it, like, okay. I mean, I guess if you want to leave and start over at however old you are, if you want to pout about it, like, go for it, I guess. You can't hire John Gilbert just to make Rick Barnes happy is essentially what Tennessee said. And, you know, a lot of people didn't like the Dave Hart regime, and that would be bringing that back. And yep. Tennessee wants to distance themselves from that. So props to Plowman for looking and saying, sorry, Barnes, but we're not doing that, Ricky.
Wow, actually reading a room and taking, okay.
And the other name that everyone said that was, you know, in contention, Mark Ingram from UAB. You know, the last report was that, you know, the search firm, the Parker Group, hasn't contacted him yet. So it looks like he is low on the list of people that the search firm is looking at and saying, hey, this is who you should hire.
So who is on their list?
Danny White at Central Florida. Danny White at UCF is really gaining some traction, and I think that would be a huge hire.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like Danny White. I like his style, and I also like that he publicly dunked on Dan Walken a couple times. One of us. And he's done it. Like, I don't want to say at a big level, but UCF is a pretty big school. Like, UCF, you know, attendance-wise is one of, if not the biggest school in Florida, I believe. Yeah.
They won a national championship just a few years ago.
And he didn't care. He stuck his chest out. He peacocked around. And the haters and losers, of which there were many, tried to say it wasn't legit. And he said, I go to hell. And then everyone's like, well, just put tougher teams on the schedule. He said, I'll put anybody on the schedule. A 1-1. And Florida's like, we'll do a 2-1. He's like, nope, 1-1.
I did like that.
Oh, yeah. I like the confidence.
That's why he dunked on Dan Walken about, because Dan was mocking him for scheduling a 1-1 with FIU and accusing him of ducking these other schools. He said, no, I'm not cheapening our product. Mm-hmm. We are a legitimate program, and we're going to do 1-1s. If they want to play us, then come to Orlando and play us. We'll go to their home and play.
Yeah, I respect that.
Danny White, of the people mentioned, would get me pretty excited, and I think, you know, he's not a Power 5 AD, but he has played at a big level and has built, you know, pretty good programs.
Yeah, I'm in on that one.
UCF basketball program, is it still holding strong? I mean, I know they almost beat Duke a couple years ago.
They're all right.
Little Taco.
Yeah. When they had Taco, they almost beat Duke.
Mm-hmm.
What was that, a 9-8 seed that year? That was the 1-8 matchup?
Yeah, I would say that's correct, yeah. I didn't know if they were still, you know, doing well in that conference or not.
They're all right. I mean, like, Houston's kind of the dominant force over there.
Sure. I didn't know if they were still, like, a...
They're definitely not
top half of the conference. Okay, yeah, I mean that's hard to do every year, but just wondering like what his other programs were like.
They're 3-5.
Okay, so they're not good. I don't know if they've lost any coaches or whatever, but like okay, 3-5.
They're ninth in the American.
That's funny. They suck. That's all you have to say.
9 out of 11.
No, they suck. That's all you have to say. They suck.
Oh yeah, they only had 19 points at half against Houston the other day.
Yeah, they got beat by.
They suck. 17. Okay, the basketball team sucks. We don't have to talk about UCF basketball anymore. Let's focus on football. Danny White, bring him in. Danny White, let's do it.
You think he'd leave UCF? Come to UT?
Well, I mean, I you asked me if I think. I mean, I have no clue. I think you know the allure of being in the SEC, and we talked about it. Like, if you are an AD and you look like, I mean, A, the potential here is endless when it comes to building the football program. We won 3 games. You know what I mean? Like, you can't run the football program any further into the ground than it is.
Yep.
Is it rock bottom? It sure as hell feels pretty close. I see the devil not too far away down here at the bottom. But, like, you know, you have all the resources you want. You have all the money you want. Like, you have the best league in the NCAA. Like, you can do...
Yep.
Endless things. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm Danny White, I want to get out of UCF. I mean, no disrespect to UCF. I'm not leaving it for anybody, but I would say the canvas is pretty blank here at Tennessee.
Yep. Absolutely.
Especially for the football program and the other sports. You know, we don't get too upset when the other sports aren't elite. Mm-hmm. Just be good.
Yep.
Be good. Seem like you know what you're doing. Dunk on Dan Walken a couple times. Be strong. Danny White, gang steam. If that's the hire Tennessee makes today, that will be a it'll at least be a national statement.
I'm curious, Danny White. I mean, what head coaches would he potentially be looking at? I wonder what his list would
Scott
look at.
Scott Frost, you went out of Nebraska? Come on. No, I mean, I'm just kidding.
I was like, yeah.
I mean, I'm just. I mean, I don't know if he would want to bring Josh Heupel with him. I don't think that would get people excited. But I mean, he's done a good job of keeping the UCF train somewhat rolling. I mean, they're still he's hiring good coaches whenever one leaves.
Yeah.
But I don't know what type of coach you'd hire. I mean, you would think, just judging by what they do at UCF, you'd think they'd want good offense. But at the same time, like, you know, who knows? Maybe that was just a – like, wasn't that the thing about Scott Frost? He coached offense and defense. Like, wasn't he, like, a defensive coach at one point in his career?
I think so.
Sounds right.
I believe that's what they all say. Yeah. It's like, he coached both sides of the ball. So, like, he could hire anybody. So I don't know who we would want. If I'm Danny White and I'm stepping up to the big leagues, I would want a big league hire, though. I'd want to make
for
a statement. Like, yeah. This guy has gumption. Like, I think he shows his confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think he would want to come here and be a winner. I don't think he'd come here and say, oh, we got to follow the rules and do integrity, blah, 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 and do all this stuff. I think he'd be coming here with mindset one of winning.
Yep.
Not like, hey, we're going to make a safe hire and be stable. He'd be like, no, let's go. Let's aim for the fences. Because keep in mind, like, can you look up Hayden? When, or Draven, anybody, when Danny White took over at UCF? Like, what exactly his tenure was there? Because, I mean, talk about building a football program. We'll see, like, what his tenure was. But, like, UCF wasn't that far removed from an 0-12 season.
Late 2015.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, that's when the program began getting built, right?
Yeah, they went 0-12 in 2015, but then that was the year after 6-7, then the year after 13-0, and that was the year they won the Peach Bowl.
Right.
So, it was a pretty dramatic turnaround since he's been there.
So he didn't hire Frost, but like he helped oversee. He helped oversee.
Frost's first year was 16, so he would have.
Oh, Frost didn't go 0-12?
No, he didn't.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
0-12 was Danny Barrett and George O'Leary.
Okay, fair
so,
enough.
So yeah, Frost came 6-7, 13-0.
Okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought Frost had to oversee that first 0-12 season, but never mind. You're right. Frost was just 6-7, 13-0.
Mm-hmm.
It has on Frost's Wikipedia page, College World Playoff runner-up.
Fair enough, I guess.
I mean.
Fair enough. Say whatever you want. I wouldn't say winner-up, runner-up. We'll just go all the way out. Champion.
Yeah, no kidding.
But you are right. He did coach linebackers, and he was the co-defensive coordinator at Northern Iowa.
That's what I thought. So, I mean, he was a guy that did both.
At Oregon, he was the offensive coordinator / quarterbacks coach and wide receivers coach, which is kind of weird. But he coached all three.
He hired guys that turned around the men's basketball, women's basketball, and apparently the baseball team, too.
No, this guy has a good resume, and if that's who Tennessee is able to hire, that would be a big win. We'll dive back into the transfer portal. The talk's there after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey folks, Jamie here at Old.
Apparently, the AD search going pretty quickly right now. Momentum swinging in Danny White's favor, who is from, or at least graduated from the University of Mississippi.
Good enough for me.
Ole Miss boy. I don't know if that means he likes Hugh Freeze or what, but...
Hey.
Might have an end to get you. Maybe Hugh Freeze or Lane Kiffin. At least Jeff Lebby. Come as an offensive coordinator. All right, let's go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Nate from Atlanta is on the line. He wants to talk coaching search. Let's grab Nate. What's up, Nate?
Hey, how's it going? And, fellas, this is for everybody, but specifically a question for John Reed. Two-part of a question, because I know you're an advocate for this certain somebody.
Okay, let's hear it.
But before we get to that,
let's hear it.
What do you think, John, as someone that's held a bullhorn and conducted hirings of your own?
I wouldn't say I conducted any hirings of my own. I wouldn't say I hired anybody.
You steered a fan base. I'm just going to say
I steered a fan base, but I didn't. Please don't accuse me of hiring Jeremy Pruitt. I did not hire Jeremy Pruitt. I simply said I didn't want Shiana. People agreed.
Agreed. Completely agreed. So, having said that, you know the kind of qualifications that it takes to be a good head coach in the SEC. So, let me ask you this. Ed Orgeron, why do you think he's qualified to be the LSU head coach, even though we know he's not someone that we see as a coordinator of any sort, guru?
Motivator. Knows the region. Motivator. Loves the school. I don't know if Ed Orgeron could be successful at most places, but, I mean, he's... has won a national championship at LSU because he lives that lifestyle. He knows what it means to be a Tiger down from the bayou. And he can motivate people. That would be my answer about Ed Orgeron.
And he can recruit, I'd say, right? He's known as a recruiter.
Yep, he can go out and recruit.
So, Jerod Mayo, we talked about him as potential UT head coach, and we want to talk about a new generation of college football.
Okay.
How do you think Jerod Mayo could recruit to Tennessee, and do you think he could hire coordinators similar to Ed Orgeron that are competent and instill a culture and go and recruit?
It's all about culture. It's all about culture. I think he could build a culture. He did an interview this morning in Nashville where that's what he kept harping on. Said Tennessee doesn't have a culture. Culture, culture, culture. I don't think that's by accident because the Patriots culture we know has been talked about for 20 years. I think I would trust him to hire a coordinator. And I think I would trust him to go into a high school recruit and sit there and say, what do you want to talk about? Being a top 10 pick in the NFL? You want to talk about winning the SEC East? You want to talk about Defensive Rookie of the Year, All-Pro, Super Bowl champion? Mm-hmm. You want to talk about life after football where I became a vice president of a tech company? You want to talk about that? Like, I could check all the boxes and Mr. and Mrs. five-star recruits' parents. Like, please note I'm going to take care of your son and I'm going to mold him into a better man. I think he could go in and easily recruit people.
Oh, yeah.
I love Lane Kiffin. I like the Hugh Freeze idea. But if we're being honest, in 2021, if you're sending those three, including Mayo, into somebody's living room, who do you think is going to be able to relate to that kid better? If we're being honest.
I mean, relating to the kid. Relating to the kid is 100% Mayo.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would say if you're relating to parents of athletes, it would also be Jerod Mayo. I mean, I've put my flag in the sand. Hayden keeps grinning because Hayden's stupid. Nate, he's down in Atlanta. He's on board with me. Let's go.
I listened to the interview you're talking about today, and it really got me going. But, I mean, you've changed, John. I got to be honest. I've been listening for years. You've changed.
Uh-oh. How'd I change?
I think all the losing's changed you. You used to be, like, standing in pastures, hollering with your shirt off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Nate, I mean, there's only so much I can do when we're losing, man. Yeah.
Is it like an FCC violation now if you do that? How's that work?
I don't know. You aren't wrong that the losing has changed me. It's beating me down, Nate. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for listening, brother. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy. See ya.
Appreciate Nate joining us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Oh, yeah, he is 100% correct. The losing has changed me. The losing has beaten me down. There was no moment I thought about going out and getting in the field and screaming this year. At no point. No thanks. The losing has changed me. Speaking of that interview, they asked Ramon Foster, asked Jerod Mayo, when are you going to be the head coach of Tennessee? And his quote was just, as soon as they offer it to me.
He's got one yes in the bag if we need it.
As soon as they offer it to me.
Is he going to get that offer, though?
We don't know. I don't know if he'll get the offer. I don't know if he'll get the offer. But I'm simply saying people said, oh, he was a little job. He was a one. He went take it. He went come. It's a dumpster fire. As soon as they offer it to me, that somebody wants to come fix the problem. Mm-hmm. Culture, culture, culture. You still haven't gone and listened to him speak, have you?
No.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Hayden, have you?
No, I'm not going to entertain this nonsense, yeah. John.
Okay. That's fine.
Is he that great of a speaker? You act like he's the greatest speaker of all time.
You heard Nate. Nate said he listened to it. He's on board now. I'm just saying, if you want to go listen to it and you want to be educated when you're on here giving takes, go listen to it. I listened to Jamie Chadwell yesterday. His country ass. He sounds like one of us. Good for him. He did everything short of saying, I want to be the Tennessee head football coach. I think he was talking to somebody at Myrtle Beach, and they're like, "Hey, the Tennessee job. What do you think about it? You know, are you?" He's like, "I'm committed here at Tennessee, or I'm committed here to my job. You know, I signed the extension at Coastal, but I'm from East Tennessee. You know, my family's there, and I love the Vols, and I wanted to play football there. It wasn't good enough. You know, basically went as short as barely stopped short of saying I'm a Vol for life. Like, I love the Vols,
right?"
And everyone gets all, ooh, feeling gooey about that.
Yeah, look
all
at gushy. Hayden.
Look at Hayden. Hayden. Really, one of us, he sounds like a country boy. Oh, one of us. That's what's making me. There's a couple things. I didn't want to go on a Mayo rant because, you know, I've made my points.
Here we go.
But Nate brought it up. But I'm just, you know, I get a couple of things whenever I tweet out Mayo. It's, if he wasn't a Tennessee player, you wouldn't think twice about him. If Jamie Chadwell wasn't from East Tennessee, you guys wouldn't be gushing over him. If Lane Kiffin didn't have his relationship with Tennessee, you wouldn't be gushing over him after a season at Ole Miss where he won 5 games. Hugh Freeze would not be somebody you were gushing over if he didn't have the quote-unquote dream job waiting for him that he's wanted. So miss me with that. Miss me with that. You talk about experience.
Oh, no. Chadwell was the AP Coach of the Year.
Yeah,
okay. Fast forward, or rewind, excuse me, back to any time in history, going to hire a coach from Coastal Carolina, everyone's going to say, no thanks. Give me a break.
They just got a program like 2 years ago.
An equivalent of Coastal Carolina.
I mean, people hire from Sunbelt a lot.
Equivalent of Coastal Carolina. No one wanted Scott Satterfield either. Thank you. You're proving my point. Satterfield.
Louisville hired Scott Satterfield. What are you talking about?
I'm saying nobody at Tennessee wanted Scott Satterfield.
Oh, well.
When his name was brought up in 17, people laughed at it. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Handsome Jamie, good-looking family, wife from Athens. I'm not besmirching the name Jamie Chadwell. I have repeatedly said I think he is one of the two possible home run hires. I want to get that out in the open. If Jamie Chadwell has happened, I will ride with Jamie Chadwell, and I think he can maybe be successful here. But all I'm saying is if you're going to talk about, well, you only want Mayo because of Tennessee ties. Same for Jamie Chadwell. If he sounded like a New Yorker, you wouldn't want him. If he did the same thing up at Buffalo, you wouldn't want him because, I mean, Lance Leopold's name comes up. No one wants him. He's a better coach than Jamie Chadwell so far in his career. More sustained success. Didn't get caught cheating. And you look at it, you talk about coaching experience. Mayo has no coaching experience. Jamie Chadwell has zero experience in the SEC. Zero. Never been an assistant coach here. Never been a grad assistant here. Not just in Tennessee, just in the SEC. Let's go a step further. Zero experience. Zero ties to a Power 5 school. He's never done it at the Power 5 level. So if you're going to talk about experience with these coaches, I mean, look, spare me. I'll take whatever Gerard Mayo did in the NFL as experience over what a lot of these coaches. I would rather Gerard Mayo be playing in the NFL, being an All-Pro, going out, being a defensive player of the year, being a captain, or defensive rookie of the year, a captain, a linebackers coach under Bill Belichick, a coach on the field, rather than him going to like Valdosta State and being a D-backs coach for 2 years. Rather than him going and being like a coach in the Conference USA as a coordinator for a couple years. That experience that Mayo has, to me, is equal to, if not better than, being a position coach at one of these small schools. I'm sorry.
There's no way that's better. Mayo's not working with kids in recruiting. He's working with adults. He's working with grown-ass men in the NFL.
I mean, that's fun, but like he is learning how to run practice. He is learning how to run a defense. I mean, I understand that there's going to be a curve in terms of instructing, which, I mean, the 2 years of coaching experience now as a linebackers coach, you could say that he is learning how to instruct and working with younger players or quote-unquote kids. But, I mean, so you're telling me, like, if Bill Belichick was up for grabs for Tennessee, you wouldn't want him because he hasn't coached kids? Like, is that what you're going to say? Or is it going to be different?
That's definitely different. Okay. When Belichick has coached 20 years,
right, but not kids.
Mayo's coached two.
But not kids.
He's coached linebackers.
But not kids,
not even
though.
The defense coordinator. He's not even a coordinator. He's not even running a whole defense,
you don't know
John.
What you're talking about. He calls plays. Him and Belichick call plays. Him and his son call plays.
And they split calling plays. That means he's running the whole show.
No, I didn't say he ran the whole show. I'm saying he calls plays. You say he hasn't called plays, he's called plays. That's all I'm saying.
I'm tired of arguing about this.
I didn't want to bring it up. Nate brought it up. I'm simply pointing out, like, you can do this carousel with any coach. You can have the pros and cons. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
I'm going to say I wouldn't be pissed off about Gerard Mayo. If he came here, I would be about it. I just want Jamie Chadwell more because I want offense. I don't want the defensive guy this time.
Man, that's understandable. That's fine. Do we know his offense will work at a Power 5? Have we seen it?
I don't think we've really seen an offense like this before.
So you don't know if it's going to work in the Power 5?
I mean, we don't know.
Okay. So So, like, there's unknown. You would agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the Sun Belt coaches have actually done pretty good, though, the last few hires, though.
Yeah. Not bad.
Like who?
Neil Brown.
You were just weren't you just making fun of Neil Brown yesterday?
He's like, won games. He's won one of three games.
You were talking about how he was like barely 500 at West Virginia. What are you talking about? So now you're gonna say he's done good?
I say he's
Neil
average.
Brown went what six and like one. He's won 13 games in 2 years, and now you're gonna act like Neil Brown's good. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did I not bring up Neil Brown yesterday as a proven winner, and you scoffed at that idea?
I think he's average.
I thought so. Okay.
What about Drinkwitz? Drinkwitz is on the right path. It looks like
Billy Napier. They want to hire him
okay,
this year.
Hold on. Let's just slow down. Okay, so Drinkwitz. We're going to call Drinkwitz good now.
He's better than Pruitt this year. That's for sure.
Pruitt's on the bar. Yes or no? Is Drinkwitz a good coach? Is he going to be winning the SEC? Are you guys willing to tell me that right now?
Winning the SEC?
It's Missouri.
So, yes or no?
The East before.
So, yes or no? Is Drinkwitz good or not?
They'll be a consistent 7-8 win team.
Answer the question. Yes or no? Is Drinkwitz good or not? You just told me that he's good, and now you're not willing to back it up.
You're defining good.
Satterfield at Louisville is, looking for the first train out. They hate him. Are we going to call him a success at Louisville? Are we watching the same sport here?
I don't know. Or are we just talking about things
that we like don't actually mean them, and we're just like guessing? Because like Billy Napier is still in the Sun Belt. Correct me if I'm wrong. Right?
I know,
like,
but people want to hire him.
But he's still in the Sun Belt, right? Like, he's still there. So we don't know if he's one of the next level.
Did Auburn not try to hire him, though?
Did he? We don't know if he did or not. I mean, according to, like, whatever Auburn says, we don't know. But, like, we haven't seen him win at the Power 5 level, right? I mean, he's still there at the Sun Belt. If I missed something, did he go somewhere and win 10 games and I just didn't see it? No? Oh, okay. So what Sun Belt coaches have done good again? Oh, okay. Gotcha. I see.
That's just –
You're arguing for no Power 5
success, but you're still arguing for Jerome Mayo, who has not coached.
No, I'm simply pointing out the hypocrisy. All those guys can be good. I've repeatedly said Jamie Chadwell could be a home run. Anyone who's listened to the show or paid attention has heard me say that. I agree with you guys about Jamie Chadwell. I'm saying the goalposts just simply keep getting moved when it comes to what one candidate brings to the table and what the other one does. And that's all I'm pointing out. Because, I mean, we all agree Jamie Chadwell has no Power 5 experience. Like, that's a fact.
Right.
Okay. Like, we've never seen him recruit. What's the highest level recruit he's ever had? Like, dealt with at Coastal? You don't actually have to look it up. I'm imagining it's a 3-star, right? Does he have any 4-stars on that roster this year? It's kind of rhetorical because it doesn't really matter if he does. He has one. I'm just saying, like, he's never recruited at a high level. He hasn't had to. He hasn't had the opportunity to. Could he do it at Tennessee? Yes, of course he could. But I mean, like, there's question marks there when you agree. Like, I mean,
yeah, I agree with that.
To everybody.
That's all I'm saying. There are question marks to everybody. Yes, short of like convincing Urban Meyer, don't sign the contract with Jacksonville. We'll give you $15 million a year. There's gonna be questions with everybody. You can hire Bob Stoops, and there'll still be questions of has the game passed him by? Has he lost his fire? Like, there'll be questions with Bob Stoops.
Yep.
I mean, like, you would feel more confident with him. Don't get me wrong. But like, I mean, that's all I'm saying is we can argue about every coach. Because chances are, like, they're going to have their flaws. Like, there's no perfect candidate out there besides, like, again, Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, and Dabo. That's it. Anybody I'm missing, like, that you think would be a perfect hire? Because you could say that, like, you know, Gerard Mayo's never instructed and coached, like, kids. That's fine, but I would say Jimmy Chadwell's never coached and dealt with people who have been told they're great their whole life, 4- and 5-star trying to make it to the NFL, right? Like, he's never had the pressure of trying to develop somebody into the NFL. Like, that's what I would say. Yeah. But he could do it. And again, I think he's a home run potential hire. But with Hugh Freeze, like, I have questions about the game passing him up in the SEC. Like, when he was here, he was elite at times because he was throwing the ball around and spreading them out. Like, everybody does that now. Or tries to. I mean, we don't, but everyone else does. I'd have questions about Hugh Freeze staying out of trouble. I'd have questions about Hugh Freeze actually, like, meaning what he says, that this is his dream job and not going to the NFL if he got a call or something like that. Same for Kiffin. Yeah. That's all I'm trying to, you know, point out to people is that there's no perfect candidate. I mean, is that fair? Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
I've hurt Hayden's feelings about
it. You did. He got
quiet. It's fine. He's just
I just think the Sunbelt take is just wrong.
Find me more than one coach.
Hugh Freeze, Arkansas State.
Oh, so we're going like a decade ago. You're just going to keep going like any Sun Belt coach. Oh, okay. You'll throw Gus
Malzahn. I'm saying
Gus
Malzahn, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Brian Harsin.
No. Okay, yeah.
I mean, those are successful.
Sure.
Those all three of those are won 10 games.
Those are a decade ago. Like, the coaches you brought up have done nothing. And again, you were just hating on Neil Brown yesterday.
I think he's average. I think he's great. I never said he was great.
You just said that.
Did I ever say he was great?
He didn't.
I didn't say he was great. He's average.
That's what you were selling me on, the Sun Belt coaches being average. Okay, gotcha. Eli Drinkwitz and Neil Brown. That was a point you were trying to make. Let's hire Coastal Carolina's coach because he's from the Sun Belt, so we can have a Neil Brown or Eli Drinkwitz.
My Neil Brown point was simply that people at Tennessee wanted Neil Brown in 2017. Did we not?
No.
Yes, people wanted him in 2017.
If we didn't want him in 2017, we would have got him in 2017. What are we talking about? No, we didn't. Like, we're rewriting history here. Mm. We're rewriting history. You don't think we'd have gotten him if we wanted him? Like, you don't think Tennessee could have went and got Neil Brown?
I don't think the university might not have wanted him, but people, like, fans wanted him.
There were people saying, like, they would accept Neil Brown, sure. But there was no one out here beating the drum, like, let's go get Neil Brown. That's not what happened. I mean, like, can you find, like, three or four people saying that? Sure. But, like, that was not the. We were supposed to be big game hunting in 2017. Mm-hmm. We were trying to get Mike Gundy. We were trying to get like established coaches to take us to the next level. Like, could Neil Brown have come here and won? Of course he could have. Like, I like Neil Brown. If we hired him, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. He's 11-11 at West Virginia. But it's hard to put a new system in. It's hard to get players. I understand all that. COVID year, blah, blah, blah. I'm not discrediting him. Like, ideally, in a perfect world, Tennessee, like I've said yesterday, would just say, you know what, we have an advantage because we know this SEC money's coming, and we can hire somebody and spend a bunch of money because we didn't have to pay a buyout. Like, that would be a perfect world. They're like, hey, let's go and hire somebody established that can we feel good about. Like, let's go get a Matt Campbell. I think that'd get people excited.
I would take that. That would be my number one guy if I thought he was realistic.
I mean, that's a program builder, and his name is always up there, and no one really ever like goes and gets him. But
that's who I won in 2017.
Sure. But, I mean, his resume is even better, or at least still is established in 2021. Like, if you went and told Matt Campbell, here's $8 or $9 million a year, you want to come coach at Tennessee, I think it'd be hard for him to turn it down. And he has a track record of building a Power 5 program. He has a track record of turning a school that's been, you know, pretty much nothing into something. Like, that would be a big-time hire. Like, if Tennessee was serious enough to go throw that cash and make him say no, then I think that would be a really, really good move.
The only thing with that is, like, if you do go for a big candidate, aren't they going to be looked at other teams, like going to the NFL? I mean, Matt Campbell got some NFL consideration. So that's the thing. Would you rather go to an NFL team or come to dysfunctional UT? Well, that's the problem with shooting for the moon.
Sure. No, I mean, it is. And, like, you're never going to feel comfortable. And, like, that goes back to, you know, me saying that there's no perfect candidate. Like, I mean, everyone's going to have questions. I think that's the reality we face. Like, you just try to. Like, it depends what Tennessee's trying to get.
Yep.
Or do you want somebody, quote-unquote, safe that you know is not going to have anybody beating at his door, a.k.a. Kevin Steele? Like, give him a chance just to dig you out of a hole and leave you, like, you know, average? Or do you want somebody that can maybe come here and get you back, you know, in the East, but you might have to worry about him leaving? Like, I mean, I think that's going to be the question you have to ask. Now, there's a couple guys, again, Jamie Chadwell, Jerod Mayo. I mean, maybe Lane Kiffin, maybe Hugh Freeze would be like, if they came here and won here, they would want to be here forever.
Yeah. I think, if you can, I would take a guy that, you know, has the possibility of leaving. Because if they are still doing good enough here that somebody wants them somewhere else, then they're doing probably a decent job here. And I'd take that. Get us back on track, hire somebody else to take us to the next level.
Sure. And, like, you know, I don't have a checklist in terms of what I want. Like, I don't need somebody to be a Power 5 coach. I don't need somebody to have X amount of years of experience. I don't need them to come from a certain conference. Again, I'd be cool with Jamie Chadwell. If Tennessee could get Billy Napier, I'd be happy with him. But, I mean, like, with both those guys, you're going to be like, well, can you do it at Power 5? Like, Billy Napier maybe can. He's had Louisiana playing really well. You know, they beat the hell out of Matt Campbell this year, right? Didn't they beat Matt Campbell this year?
They did.
They beat LSU when he was there, right? Or that was Neil Brown. That was Neil Brown, right? They beat
them. Troy. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you've had some guys that have won big games. Like, that's fine. But, like, I don't have a checklist. I want somebody who can win. And I've said I want somebody that can win big.
Yeah.
I know a couple guys that, like, we would hire that couldn't win big. But otherwise, we'd just be rolling the dice. I have guys I think could win here more than others. You listen to talk and, you know, for as much of like experience we talked about, is there also something like, is there not something to the idea of like having never failed, really?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, if you're just looking at Tom Herman, like, I mean, if you look at Tom Herman, would you rather have Tom Herman or roll the dice at somebody else? Because, like, Tom Herman has failed.
Yeah.
Like, he failed at Texas. Gus Malzahn failed at Auburn. Would you rather have those guys who are established but have failed and you've kind of seen, like, their shortcomings, or would you rather have an unknown and hopefully land a superstar? Because I think it's, I mean, for me, again, it's fair to say that neither Tom Herman nor Gus Malzahn are superstars. Like, would you guys disagree with that?
No, I agree.
Nah, B-plus coaches.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, at best, like, you might have a season where you're an A-minus, but, right. Like, or, you know, with Gus, he won a championship, so, I mean, he was an A that year. But, like, for the most part, you're going to, you know, B-minus. Which, I mean, would be good for Tennessee, because right now we have an F. If you go from an F student to a B-minus student, like, your parents are going to buy you dirty magazines and all the ice cream you could eat. Right? I mean, like, that's where we're at. Like, you know, a B-minus seems like a 4.0 at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, like, you know, but, like, would you rather have that? Because, I mean, Rick Barnes was that. And I would say most Tennessee fans are happy with what Rick Barnes has done at Tennessee. And I don't think he's got you to the A level yet. Like, you know, like, you've had moments, but, like, so far I don't think you've hit the promised land. I mean, you might hit it this year. And I'm not talking about championships. I'm just talking about, like, you know, deep tournament runs and
being the way elite. You think you should be.
Yeah. So what does Tennessee want to do? We might have an answer. And, you know, if they hire an AD, like I said, this Danny White guy, you know, he seems like somebody who would want to win and win big. He's got ties to Ole Miss, so I don't know how he feels about Hugh Freeze or Lane Kiffin. He's also coming from a small conference that maybe knows that these smaller guys can also do it big. So, like, that might work well for Jamie Chadwell. Group 5 guys sticking together saying, hey, come on. I know I was really good at my job. I know you're really good at your job. Come on. Get you excited, though, all the scenarios, though, right?
Yeah. As long as you don't mess it up, yeah.
It gets me excited. And then at the same time, I just think it's going to end up being Kevin Steele.
See, that's
right?
The thing.
I
don't think it'll be Kevin Steele. And I think Kevin Steele failed his first test, which was trying to get people to stay on the roster, and they all hit the transfer portal yesterday.
Well, what about the hiring of the assistant coaches? The rumor of him hiring coaches. How are you going to bring in a new coach who's – you already have people on the staff?
Like, yeah, I mean, like, you know, with him hiring maybe Ronnie Gorman, which I don't think that ever went through officially, right? Like, that was just, you know, rumored. Maybe you put the – you know, you slowed that down because, like, hey, we got to – like I said, when you have five of your best players hit the transfer portal yesterday –
some urgency.
You got to try to get this coach in here, and maybe they could talk to them before they actually sign somewhere else. Or maybe they're in trouble anyways because they were recruited by Niedermeyer. Like, who knows? But with Steele, I think he failed his first test. Like, I think he was hired for stability, and then it was unstable, and everybody is upset.
Yeah.
Good discussion. I didn't mean to make Hayden cry. Can you go get him out of the bathroom and tell him to come
back? Yeah, I'll get him. I hate when he does this.
He's so mad that I even said that. Will you speak?
I mean, what do you want me to say?
Nothing. That's good enough. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks. If you're...
Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Only 100 calories. Ditch the beer belly bloat. Pick up some White Claw. Support the people who support us. Made with their unique brew pure process. They deliver only the finest flavors. And a hard seltzer like no other. White Claw Hard Seltzer. Made pure. Please drink responsibly. Yep. Seems to be really coming to a quick end in the AD search as you had the FallQuest staff tweet out that Tennessee is zeroing in on Danny White to replace Philip Fulmer. So story goes up, it seems like it is all but done.
Ooh, that was quick.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad we're getting the show on the road.
I'm just curious who this guy's going to have on his list as head coaches, right? I don't... I wonder what his number one name's going
to
be.
I'm more concerned that we still have, like, Peyton and stuff in the wing, supposedly supposed to be helping pick the next coach. But, no, I really like Vizier.
Cam hates Peyton.
Yeah, he does, don't
I
he?
Wouldn't use hate. I'm just not.
Not a Peyton guy?
He's cool. Just, I don't know. I don't think he definitely shouldn't have a hand in picking a coach.
Danny White's done a good job at UCF. This, like I said, if anything, it kind of just makes a statement nationally that you were able to go get one of, you know, somebody that's highly thought of.
Listen, this is the best thing he's done at UCF. So he was able to create a relationship with Walt Disney World Resort that provides annual access to Disney for all UCF student athletes. How about that? Some access to Walt Disney World.
Wait a second, what?
Yeah.
How does that
work? Is that not illegal? I guess if you give it to every student, you can give it to the athletes. Is that what's happening there?
I guess so. That's what it says on his
If every student can get it, then it's equal, and yeah, it's not like a violation.
Somebody get Dolly on the line.
Yeah, here we go.
Rainey's going to get Dolly on the line. Look, Dolly, we need every student here with a season pass. That way we can give it to the players.
Break out my old student ID.
That's what we need.
UCF teams have combined for 25 consecutive semesters with a 3.0 grade point average.
Boring.
There we go.
They don't come to play school.
Boring. Boring. That's good. 3.0.
Come on. That's
something that you need as an AD.
Integrity.
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 Integrity weed. Okay. Like I said, you know, it makes a statement nationally. You went and hired somebody that's thought of with a lot of respect in the biz. But also, you're getting outside your Tennessee family, which I think is somewhat important. If you're Randy Boyd, you're like, hey, like, we're just going to hire the best person for the job. If you're Donde Plowman, you're like, hey, we're hiring the best person for the job. We're not going to make the mistake of just promoting Philip Fulmer Bev did. We're not going to do that. We're gonna hire somebody that knows what the hell they're doing. Somebody that we would be willing to hire at any school, which that's good of Randy Boyd to be able to do.
Hopefully, they have the same approach with the head coach as well.
Yeah, I mean, like I know we've talked about guys with Tennessee ties, with Mayo, Kiffin, Freeze, and Chadwell. I understand that, but like if there is somebody like a Matt Campbell, who is just thought of as a really, really good coach. Yeah, we know he doesn't have any ties to Tennessee. I don't think he has any ties to the SEC either. But, like, hey, he's a hell of a coach. If you want to go hire him and you got the money and you're going to pony up, go get him. Don't get caught inside your box. Yeah, that's promising. Now, I don't know how many guys out there besides Matt Campbell. Who else would be out there in terms of just like Luke Fickell, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an Ohio State guy.
I mean, for me, like, Luke Fickell, is he better or worse than Matt Campbell, or do you view them as similar?
Oh, I view Matt Campbell much higher.
Yeah, so much higher?
Campbell above.
I mean,
much higher?
Looking at this year, Iowa State hasn't made it to the conference championship game since 1912. They did this year. They never even finished in the top 25.
I don't know.
They never even finished in the top 25. Like, at the end of the year, since 2004, they finished, number 25. They have never finished in the top AP poll. They finished, top 10 this year.
So what you're telling me is, he's only done that 1 year while being there?
Yeah, pretty much. But
I mean, I know
it was bad when he got there.
I know he's been good and took over a bad program and beat, every year he'll beat some team he's not supposed to. But, I mean,
He also does lose games he's not supposed to.
This is the first year. I mean, this is the first year they finished ranked.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying.
And they still lost, three games?
Like, not only in the top 10, just, finished ranked.
I mean, that's what I meant, top 25.
Which, again, when he took over, look, it's important to note that, the 3 years before he took over, they were 3-9, 2-10, 3-9. I'm not going to act like he's not a great coach, and he's thought of very highly. NFL guys want him, and he's always a big name. But, I don't necessarily know if I think he's better than Luke Fickell. I'm not saying Luke Fickell's better than him. I'm just I can't say that with certainty. Because Cincinnati wasn't in a great place after Tuberville left either.
They were 3-8 or something like that when Tuberville left.
Right. But I mean, I think if you get either one of those, that's a huge hire. Don't get me wrong. Either one of those is a huge hire. I just wonder, if we're talking about guys with no Tennessee ties, would they just go ahead and call Luke Fickell too and say, hey, $8 million here for you.
Yep.
You want it? And come here and build something?
The stat that I saw last night, Tennessee hasn't hired a Power 5 head coach since 1977.
Oof. Wow. Okay.
With that,
Johnny Majors.
Yeah, I was going to say, that have been Majors?
I guess Pitt.
Yep.
I mean,
just won a national championship, yeah.
Yeah, but I guess Pitt wasn't – there wasn't really Power 5 back then, but they are in the ACC now, so.
Hmm.
Okay.
Little Danny White nugget that I just looked up.
Apparently, Dan Walken, by the way, said the deal is done.
Oh, great.
Let's go.
He hired Bobby Hurley at Buffalo.
Yeah, and Nate Oates, one of my friends, texted that in.
That's a big hire. I mean, like, he has a good track record. Like I said, this is a big national statement.
Yeah, and Nate Oates. That's right.
Tennessee being able to go and pluck Danny White is a statement. That's a statement hire. Now we'll see what he wants in the coaching search. Like I said, like, to me, like, if I'm Danny White, I'm not coming to coach, or I'm not coming to run the athletic program with Kevin Steele as my head coach.
No way.
Oh, yeah, no.
I don't know. With him coming in, you think that is more likely that they wouldn't just stick with Kevin Steele?
Oh, no. If I'm Danny White, I'm not taking that job, and I'm not. Like I said, this guy is a winner. He won at Buffalo. He won at UCF. Like, he's going to come in and he's going to want to win. He's not going to come here and say, I'm just happy to be here. Like, this guy has an ego and he wants to rise to the top and all that stuff. Like, that's a good thing. He's not here to be a loser.
We need that. We need that mentality.
100%.
Yeah, please.
How many brothers does Danny White have?
Big family. Saw a family picture. I don't know if they're like brother-in-laws, and some of them are like his sisters are real, but he's got a big family.
It says his brother's the AD at Florida Atlantic.
I saw a picture of like his family at the beach. He's got a. Oh really? When did he take over there? Like, is it? We got an Ole Miss connection and a Florida Atlantic connection. We getting on the Lane train. We getting on the Lane train. Okay. But again, this is a guy who's going to want to come here and put his stamp. Like, this is his first Power 5 job. You don't become a winner at Buffalo and a winner at UCF and then get to your biggest job and say, all right, let's coast for a little bit. I'm cool with Kevin Steele. He's smarter than that.
That is true. It's kind of his biggest job, isn't it?
Yeah. Which, I mean, you know, again, it goes back to our coaching conversation. Can you handle it at a Power 5 level? I think he can. But you get there, and that's when you want to become like, now you're at the top, and you want to keep working. Like, I would imagine you want to start building your legacy, and like, really, you're on the scene now.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just some cute underdog at UCF. Now you're on the scene, and you have, again, a rebuild with the football program that is going to be tough, but could be very, very rewarding. Danny White could be a legend at Tennessee if he fixes the football program. If I'm an AD, that gets me excited.
Yeah.
You are a GM taking over a team that's gutted, and you have a chance to go and build it. You got some time to do it, and if you do it, you're going to get all the praise. That'd be pretty exciting.
I do have some unfortunate news, John.
Okay.
Lane Kiffin was already there
when
Brian White was hired.
That's okay.
He'd been there for a year.
Still a relationship, though. Yeah. Still a relationship.
There's a connection.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Lane Kiffin was there from 2017 to 2019,
and they let Lane do whatever he wanted at FAU in terms of like they were lifetime contracts. Like, hey, we're happy to have you.
Brian White got hired March 3rd, 2018. Lane only had one season without him.
Again, there's overlap. It's not like he got hired this year after Lane left. So there's overlap. So there's a relationship. So there's an Ole Miss relationship. There's a Florida Atlantic relationship. You know, I was one of the Volquist guys that said they would not be shocked if Lane Kiffin was actually hired here. So they said. Which, to me, like, the fact that they're saying they wouldn't be shocked, that, like, it's one thing to say, like, hey, it's not impossible, but I'd be really, really surprised. Like, I wouldn't be shocked.
Man.
To me, that the phrasing there is like, okay, so, like, this might be, like, an actual thing that Tennessee would let happen. Which still seems crazy to me.
Come on, Danny. Bring him home. Bring him home, Danny boy. Let's go.
Get those It's Time t-shirts back out. It's time now.
I guess since we're talking about connections, White's dad was the AD at Duke. This whole family just damn
AD. Oh, yeah, no kidding.
He just retired, too.
As Sean writes in, Cutcliffe. Got to put him on the board now. He's got a relationship. I'm just saying, if we're talking about relationships with people, we have to be fair. There's a relationship at Duke, too.
I think the whole 10-year head coach thing kind of takes him out of that.
Well, Fulmer said that. Fulmer, by the way, got all of his money. It makes me sick they let him sit up there. And
I haven't even talked about that yet.
And praised him as he was getting fired in this whole buyout. That makes me sick. But
makes me angry.
Yep. All right, so it looks like Pete Thamel is also saying, confirms USA Today report that Danny White will be the next AD at Tennessee. Quote, they made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Hey.
I like that.
Expected to start the coaching search immediately.
Let's go. An offer he can't refuse. Hour one of the books, hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Apex Pest